When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stuff I Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio. And welcome to another edition, segment of Fictional Women Around the World. And this is Pride Edition. And I really waffled on this one, which is a word that Samantha was telling me is not a word in the way that I use it. Maybe it's not.
It
Who
is.
Knows?
It's a failure to make up one's mind.
Ah!
Yeah, it says, leaves us squandering or leaves us an indecisive waffle.
Yeah.
As the example. I have
I
never
feel
heard
vindicated.
That term.
I feel vindicated.
You should be. British term is different, by the way, though.
Oh. Is it quaffle?
No, waffled in British term is speak or write, especially at great length, without saying anything, or lengthy but trivial or useless talking.
It could fit both, to be honest.
So if I call you a waffle, it means you're trivial or unimportant.
But I like waffles. This is kind of what the audiobook experience was like, by the way.
It really was.
It was like, oh, that's what that means? Oh, and in British, it means this.
Yes, I love it. It was because we had a British director producer. She was like, this is not what that means here. And in like English, in the UK English, this is how we say it.
Right. Yeah, it was funny. There's a running joke over on Saver that I'm a sleeper British spy because I say things in the UK English a lot. And she mentioned it when we were doing the audiobook. She was like, yeah, you're doing a lot of the UK pronunciations. Like, oh my gosh, maybe it's true.
Like, I watched Harry Potter a lot as a kid.
That's all it is. Yeah. Yes. Okay. But I waffled about this one, and I'm sure some of you were screaming about how I picked it because it is problematic in a plethora of ways, and we're going to talk about some of them. But I also can't deny this was one of the first times legitimately I saw a lesbian couple on TV, more specifically in the mainstream, but like ever on TV at all. And it really impacted me. It did. And yes, we are talking about Buffy the Vampire Slayer's Willow Rosenberg and her relationship with Tara McClay. And we're mostly focusing on the show. You made fun of how long this outline is. I didn't even put in any of the comic book stuff because I was like, well, and eventually I'm just going to be explaining everything and like 5 hours later, maybe we'll be done. So I'm focusing on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, not Angel, which she also appeared on. And I watched both, but I can't remember Angel as well. Yes. And it does come with a Joss Whedon disclaimer because a lot of stuff has come out about the set of this show and how Whedon treated women specifically and young women specifically. Which is incredibly disheartening because it did feel so refreshing and so feminist in a lot of ways. Past hosts have talked about it. And that tarnishes the whole thing, unfortunately. But I have to think about it. So this character was first played by Riff Reagan in the movie, but largely has been played by Allison Hannigan, who dyed her hair red for the part. I did not know that. Because I guess he was like, we have a blonde, we have a brunette, we need a red, or something like that. So while this romance between these characters, Tara, I always say Tara, but it might be Tara. It's been a long time since I've watched this show. And Willow was very groundbreaking at the time. It was handled somewhat clumsily in some aspects, especially in hindsight. And that's not to diminish the impact it had at all, because again, it really did impact me and a lot of people. But I remember even as a kind of a younger, not as educated in terms of queer literature person that I was, raising my eyebrows at a few lines in there about it. That being said, I think you can make the argument that the characters were growing too, because I, for one, remember, and I hate this, but it's true, I remember desperately wanting to be straight and afraid that I wasn't, which is toxic bullshit. But I suspect that this was less character-driven and more writer-driven and just how things were spoken about at the time. But I do see, like, some people make the argument, like, oh, well, they were young and growing and learning, all that kind of stuff. All right. So, the history. Buffy the Vampire Slayer was an American drama/horror/comedy created and largely written and directed by Joss Whedon that ran from 1997 to 2003.
Wait, it was created by him?
Mm-hmm.
The movie was too?
I don't know.
So the original movie is Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
There is. I don't know that he had anything to do with that, but he created the show.
Okay, but it's not created Buffy the Vampire Slayer because it starts off the same.
Mm-hmm.
It is based off all the same things. So that's what I'm wondering.
Yes.
Okay, but specifically to this show, but not necessarily the characters.
Right.
Okay, there.
Yes, I believe that's correct. However, it has spawned a whole host of other media like comics, so many comics. It follows a young woman and vampire slayer, Buffy Summers, and her friends, nicknamed the Scooby Gang, and their battles against evil in the town of Sunnydale. My little brother used to live in Sunnyvale.
Yeah.
And so I always get confused. It's Sunnydale, a.k.a. the Hellmouth. Buffy's best friend is a witch named Willow Rosenberg. In the beginning, she's shy, she's a bit of a nerd, but she goes on to become a powerful and dangerous witch. By some accounts, she's Earth's greatest witch, their most powerful witch. She was smart, level-headed, determined, shy, sweet, and not one to hold a grudge, but at the same time, vengeful. Very, very vengeful. We're going to talk about that. She was a very powerful magic user. She could do all kinds of things, like a whole host of things. She often expressed frustration about being childish or being perceived as childish, and later was weighed down with a lot of self-doubt and guilt about Dark Willow, which we'll talk about again in a second. But before that, yes, she was a nerd, and she was a go-to for tutoring. Because of this, she was the target of popular student Cordelia Chase, leading Willow to create the We Hate Cordelia Club. She had a huge unrequited crush on her best friend Xander, whom she'd grown up with, but he had a huge unrequited crush on their shared best friend Buffy. And some of Buffy's advice about seizing the day led Willow unknowingly to go on a date with a vampire, as you do, and having to be rescued by Buffy. Buffy told Willow about her secret identity as a vampire slayer. And then they became BFFs, and Willow dedicated herself to learning more about the supernatural so she could help Buffy. Although that kind of came later on. In the early days, she was much more like research. I'll help you with research, libraries and computing and hacking and all that. This led to her almost getting killed by some demon she met on the internet. But that's also how it goes sometimes. After witnessing several deaths and having several nearly fatal run-ins, Willow started to evolve. She became more outspoken and assertive. She confronted Xander over choosing to date Cordelia over her and went about moving on with a guitarist named Oz, played by Seth Green, who we discussed. I had a crush on.
You had a crush.
Yes. It turns out he's a werewolf. and he almost killed Willow on accident, but she continued to date him.
I forgot that plot line.
Yeah. It's a blast from the past, isn't it?
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
After Buffy's vampire love interest Angel killed one of Willow's favorite techno-pagan teachers, Willow taught her classes for the remainder of the year, and she used the materials that the teacher had left behind to learn more about witchcraft, including the original ritual that was used to ensoul Angel decades before. She set about learning it and succeeded right before Buffy was going to kill Angel. It was a whole dramatic thing. Willow decided she wanted to learn magic to help Buffy fight evil. She briefly took over leadership of the Scooby Gang while Buffy was away and led them on largely unsuccessful vampire hunts. But they're trying. she started practicing spells and blessings. She joined a coven, though they became targets of an anti-occult group that included Willow's mother. Xander and Willow continued to kind of dance around each other despite the fact that they were involved with other people. And they shared a kiss in a tense situation with both of their respective partners witnessing it. Xander and Cordelia broke up, but Willow and Oz worked it out. At one point, Willow joined forces with ex-vengeance demon Anya and accidentally summoned or released her vampiric counterpart from another dimension. Yes, she is stunned to learn that Vampire Willow is attracted to women. And later, after losing her memory, Willow says, "I think I'm kind of gay." So there were like hints early on, early-ish on. Though Willow got into many Ivy League colleges, she opted to go to university in Sunnydale so she could keep fighting alongside Buffy. At one point, believing that she was going to die without exploring her relationship with Oz, they had sex together. It was Willow's first time. Later, Oz cheated on her with another werewolf named Veruca, and he left town, leaving Willow heartbroken. She attempted to curse them both, but was interrupted when Veruca tried to kill her, and Oz killed Veruca to stop her. Oz left, fearful of putting Willow in danger. Willow wrote letters to him but didn't know where to send them and grew increasingly bitter, casting a spell that accidentally put her friends in danger, which is a kind of common thread in her story, actually. She was able to reverse it and was offered to become a vengeance demon, but she turned it down. So she joined up with the campus Wicca group, but found only one of them actually had experience with magic, and it was shy, timid, but serious Tara McClay, played by Amber Benson. After an encounter with some monsters, they become friends and have regular meetups to practice magic, and Willow eventually introduces Tara to the gang. Over time, they became really, really, really close, and they fell in love, though they kept that part quiet. But drama. Oz returned, claiming he had his wolf side tamped down and that he wanted to continue his relationship with Willow. And Willow's really torn, and she goes to Buffy and comes out to Buffy and explains how she feels about Tara. When Oz found out, it turns out his wolf side was not so much in control, and he left town once again. Willow told Tara she was the one she loved. Spike, who, if you have never seen this show, you might be so confused, and what a ride this must be, but he's a vampire. He, along with others, tried to split the Scoobies up. And one of the ways that they did that was essentially by outing Willow to everyone by revealing her relationship with Tara. It didn't work. Willow's power grew massively, and her feelings for Tara strengthened when she found out about the abuse and the lies that Tara had to grow up and deal with her family. But Tara was worried about how much Willow was relying on magic and how much she was using it. And it led to a fight between them, one of many, when a powerful, evil hell goddess named Glory attacked Tara, leaving her insane. A spiteful Willow attacked Glory, even though Buffy did her best to convince her not to. She spat in the goddess's face. Willow did injure her, but was almost killed in the effort. So Buffy was trying to tell her, like, you're not strong enough. She'll kill you. Don't do it. Anyway, Glory then cursed Buffy to be catatonic, but Willow was able to pull her out of her own mind and then restore Tara's mind and helped slow down Glory. However, Buffy had to sacrifice herself to save her sister, Dawn. Willow became the Scoobies' leader after she died. She looked after Dawn and told Angel about Buffy's death. However, using magic and the help of her friends, she was able to resurrect Buffy. Though many expressed concerns with her channeling such powerful, deep magic. Tara argued that she developed an addiction to magic, but Willow, who, yes, was addicted to magic, this is very clearly like a metaphor for drug addiction, used it to erase the memory of the fight from Tara's brain. So when she discovered that Willow discovered that Buffy had been in heaven and not in hell, which is what she believed, she discussed erasing the memory of heaven from Buffy's mind, which caused another argument between her and Tara. To reassure her, Willow swore not to use magic for an entire week, but immediately backtracked and tried to cast a spell to erase both Tara and Buffy's memories of her using it excessively. But it backfired. It gave them all amnesia, put them all at risk. When their memories were restored, Tara broke up with Willow. The pain of the breakup and the absence of Tara's presence allowed for Willow's addiction to spiral out of control. She started going to a dark magic dealer, at one point putting Dawn in danger and ignoring the concerns of her friends, and accidentally summoning a demon while high on magic. Dawn was injured in their escape, and Willow finally had to face these consequences of her actions, and she swore off magic and instead went back to her tech skills. Willow and Tara reconciled, and while they were laying in bed, Tara was shot and killed by a bullet meant for Buffy, fired by this guy named Warren. Willow tried to use magic to bring Tara back, but she couldn't, so her grief transformed to rage. She absorbed all the dark magic she could. It turned her hair and her eyes black. She had like these black veins going everywhere. She abandoned her old life and her friends and embraced the dark, eventually using magic to flay Warren alive And this is one of the most memorable scenes for the whole series for me. I remember this episode and this arc very clearly.
I think I stopped watching at this point.
Oh, there's one part where she's like on a semi-truck and the music is like, oh, oh, oh. Like, I'll never forget it. I bet people listening, some of you know exactly what I'm talking
about.
Exactly.
Yeah, because I don't know. Obviously, I did not watch this part.
They did call her Dark Willow, which became kind of a haunting... It kind of became a joke people would use where they'd say, I don't want to go all Dark Willow. And it really messed with her. This is like one of the things that hangs over her a lot. Is that she... Well, I mean, rightfully so. She did...
Yeah,
a lot of bad things.
She played someone, so...
Yeah. But that's like her big after this is being too afraid. Well, anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. So, okay. Okay, so Buffy fought Willow, but Willow had cast a super strength spell on herself and declared, I'm the Slayer now. She then absorbed Giles's magic along with the magic he'd borrowed to fight Willow. Sensing all the pain of the world and overcome with it, she decided that it was time to end the world. So Xander, she tries to start the apocalypse, but Xander stopped her when he refused to leave her side, no matter what. The power she'd stolen from Giles left her, and she broke down in grief over everything that she had done. Giles, along with others, helped her in rehabilitating and controlling and connecting to her magic, though she was much more hesitant to use it now. She was so scared of reuniting with her friends that she accidentally cast a spell that rendered her invisible. She started dating the potential slayer, Kennedy, very reluctantly. And after their first kiss, a curse started to transform her into Warren as punishment, and using her to continue his violent rampage. Kennedy helped her stop it before she fully transformed by getting her to face her grief over what had happened to Tara. Gradually, Willow became more confident in using her magic again, helping out Angel and Cordelia. At Buffy's behest, Willow used her magic and tech skills to activate several potential slayers all around the world. Her hair turned pure white in the process, and like, Kennedy deified her? I don't know. And then she famously said, "That was nifty." And then they got out of Sunnydale before it was destroyed. Then this is where, like, I'm going to condense so much because that's the end of the show.
Oh,
this is
okay.
We're moving into like comics territory.
Oh, okay.
She spent some time in Brazil with Kennedy, was given the choice to have Tara as a spiritual guide, but turned it down when she realized it would either be an illusion or would rip Tara from the afterlife. Then Kennedy died and was resurrected, and Willow revealed she believed Tara's death was her punishment for resurrecting Buffy. Willow was then kidnapped by a flayed Warren, who revealed he'd been revived soon after Willow killed him by an ex-friend of Willow's, Amy, who, by the way, spent a lot of the show as a rat, trapped in rat form.
Wait, I remember. Oh, I remember that episode.
Hey.
That's the one that took over the mom or the mom's body. They switched.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure it was early. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember this episode, I think. Yeah.
She was a rat for like 5 seasons, I think.
She existed? I thought she just disappeared.
No, Willow kept her as a pet. Because
she
didn't know how to reverse it.
No, that was a doll. That was a trophy. Never mind. I switched it.
Okay. Well, we had a moment and then it was all wrong. But that's all
but
right.
I do feel like I remember the rat thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, Amy was very jealous of Willow and had also been there during her dark magic times and was like, let's try more dark magic. So it didn't seem like she was great. But anyway, she also spent a long time as a rat. Who knows? So this like flayed version of Warren tried to lobotomize Willow, but Willow was rescued by Buffy. A vision of the future revealed that Dark Willow returned and there was a world without magic at some point. And Willow worked with Angel and his son Connor to restore it, but she accidentally absorbed too much dark magic in the process. And then she kind of briefly went evil and kicked some ass, like dropped a mountain on somebody, but was able to come back.
It's a little dramatic.
It's a lot of it. I mean, a lot of it's pretty dramatic. Let's be honest. I remember her showing up on Angel, but I don't remember this. So I don't know. That might have been the show or it might have been the comics. But A super coven tried to convince Willow to stay in their paradise dimension and forget about saving Earth, but Willow realized that there was no light Willow and no dark Willow. There was just Willow. She dueled her disguised ex-dark magic dealer, eventually restored her magic. And at one point, she stopped Tara from being resurrected because she was happy in heaven. She was called the Mad Woman in this dystopian future. Please, if you've read the comics, oh my gosh, let me know. Because I was reading this like, whoa!
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does the hard parts for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billings, scheduling, and more. With a home management team that provides support before, during, and after your stay, so you can focus on the relaxing, hosting, and making memories with family and friends. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. With Picasso, you can stop saying someday and start building family traditions today in a vacation home you own and revisit time after time. Visit Picasso.com today to see thousands of luxury vacation home listings. That's PACASO.com.
Yeah, just to clarify also, because I did look it up, Joss Whedon did do the screenplay for the movie.
Oh, okay.
So he did do all of it. He didn't direct it necessarily, but he did write the movie. So this is all his baby.
Okay.
He changed it vastly, obviously, because the first one was a complete comedy.
Yes.
With a little bit, like, little bit of darkness, but not this level.
Yeah, I think I watched that movie during the pandemic for the first time, and I was like, whoa.
Oh, really? Yeah. I watched it when it first came out.
Oh, yeah?
And this was one of my go-to movies with one of my best friends that we could quote all the lines.
That's so funny.
It's one of those movies for me.
I'm going to have to go back and rewatch it, because I didn't know Willow was in there. but yes. Thanks for clarifying. So this character was groundbreaking in a lot of ways. There are also a lot of issues we could talk about here. One of the big ones is the barrier gaze trope. So Willow didn't die, but there was a massive backlash when Tara died, with many saying that this really played into that trope, which is basically what it sounds like, killing off the few gay characters that there are, usually fairly quickly and in some tragic way to further plot lines, which is fair critique in this. I will say Tara, she was there for a minute, but yeah, she did get killed off while they were having a sweet moment in bed. Whedon was also accused as being homophobic at the time. I don't think either of these actors are gay. But one of the things I vaguely remember was there was this idea in the show and just around like the reaction to the show that it was like turned gay, like she got turned gay. But Buffy does have a line where she's like, as you know, back in the past, somehow with her present day memories, and it's their high school time, and she has this line where she's like, oh, you don't realize you're not, basically implying Willow doesn't realize she's gay yet. So, as I said, it can be a process. It's quite possible she didn't know. And then there's the whole conversation. This is actually more recent. Like, maybe she was bi.
Well, that's the first thing I was going to ask recently. I was like, because she really was in love with the Seth Green character. Like,
right.
All of that. So, could she not have just been bi or pan, one of those two things, and not necessarily right. just lesbian? But, I mean, there's nothing wrong with being a lesbian either.
Right.
But I just wondered. Yeah,
because it's a big conversation around bi erasure. And she did, I think she had 3 steady relationships with dudes before she met Tara. And then after that, they were all women. And she made a lot of lesbian jokes after that. But Whedon has said that if the show were made today, she would be bi. But at the time, audiences weren't ready and would see it as a phase. So here's the quote. It was like, okay, you can make Willow bi, but you can't say this is a phase because that's what people do to deny their existence. So if I did it now, I'd be like, yes, she can be bi because some people are. But back then it was like, no, we're not ready for that. Also, I kind of chuckled because I forgot about the whole vampire Willow being into women. And that I was like, that feels so like lesbians are evil and like gay people. What are they up to?
but she was also dating the Dark Xander character.
I think so, yeah.
That was the alternate universe that Cordelia creates when she's mad at Xander with the revenge demon.
Yeah.
And that's where the Dark Willow or the Vampire Willow came from. Mm-hmm. I do remember this episode.
I remember Xander, the aesthetic, yeah.
Yeah, Xander was a vampire too, I think. And the two of them were real dark and evil, but they would always make out with each other, but she also liked women too.
Right.
I don't think she was full on.
Right. But it does kind of play into that we've talked about before, that sort of sexualization of gay people where it's like, oh, she's evil. No, she's into everybody. Like, but it was groundbreaking. It was one of the first lesbian couples in mainstream media that wasn't a punchline or used for shock factor, which we discussed recently. And I watched Buffy the Vampire Slayer as a young person, and I remember being so blown away by it. And the way it was treated like it wasn't a big deal in the context of the show, they loved each other. That was it.
It definitely came off as if like, because most of the things, especially in that generation or that time frame, was like it came from a male gaze. Mm-hmm. Like obviously they were sexualized, and this is like out of a male men's fantasy level mm-hmm. of lesbian. And this is, and the two of them were cute together and like genuinely sweet and loving. And it wasn't for anybody but them, but being in a relationship necessarily. So I was like, oh. Right. That is different. And it didn't make you uncomfortable because they weren't overtly sexual.
No.
As if like being all the time making out and like trying to undress each other and then staring at a dude as if that's who it's for.
No, they had like a really sweet relationship. And like most of the scenes I remember of their relationship are, you know, like kind of just like gentle kisses, or there's a scene where Tara's helping Willow pick out her clothes. Like it's a lot of just kind of a sweet, like, normal couple stuff.
It really was.
Yeah. And it was the first long-term lesbian relationship depicted on mainstream television. So that means it did get a lot of backlash when the character was revealed as gay. But Whedon said, for every negative post, there's somebody saying, you made my life a lot easier because I now have someone I can relate to on screen. So there's that importance of representation and good, genuine representation. When Willow had sex with the potential Slayer Kennedy in the 7th season, it was one of the first lesbian sex scenes on television. Huh. Yes. And this kind of cracked me up because, like I said, the Dark Willow arc is one of the most memorable things to me. But Willow is often described as having largely healthy relationships pre-magic addiction and post-recovery. And even then, people point out, like, Tara realized Willow was bad for her and left, unlike Buffy, who kept staying kind of these toxic relationships. She was also Jewish, culturally and religiously. She described herself as a Jewish Wiccan. And there are plenty of instances throughout the show where she makes a comment about growing up Jewish, being Jewish. And she was a woman in STEM, Although some articles I read pointed out, like, that part felt so quickly abandoned when she discovered the magic, which I get, but I also get why that might annoy you. You're a woman in STEM where it's like, nah, don't do this computer stuff anymore.
That's funny.
Yeah. So she was, in a lot of ways, she made a pretty big impact for a lot of people. So I know we got to talk about all the problematic stuff, but I just remember her having such a big impact on me when I was young. So there you go. and I know I gloss over so much and I probably made some mistakes because it's complicated to describe things like this, I tell you. So let me know.
It was so long ago, too.
Like, I know. I haven't rewatched it in forever.
Yeah. Yeah. I try to rewatch it because like, it came back up and we were talking about Pedro Pascal being in the first seasons. And like when I rewatched it and I saw him, I was like, that's what? I had a moment.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I try to rewatch it, still couldn't make it all the way through.
I really liked it. I mean, some of the episodes I remember very clearly, but yeah. It has been a minute since I've watched it. So if I made any mistakes or if you have any notes about the comics or thoughts about this at all, you can email us at stephanieandmomstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can find us on Twitter at Momstuff Podcast or on Instagram and TikTok at Stuff I Never Told You. We're also on YouTube. We have a book coming out. You can pre-order it at stuffyoushouldreadbooks.com. I hear you can pre-order it on Audible as well. We have a TeePublic store. We've got some new merch on there, so check that out. Thanks, as always, to our super producer, Christina, our executive producer, Maya, and our contributor, Joey.
Thank you.
And thanks to you for listening. Stuff I Never Told You is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Health Aid Kombucha.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.